This is Steve Stillwell. Welcome to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show.
This is Trey Youngdahl introducing today's episode of Bushcraft and Survival, where Steve and I draw inspiration from the current situation in Ukraine to talk about urban survival in a wartime environment. It should be mentioned that the views expressed in this episode don't necessarily reflect the views of our sponsors, the Ouachita Podcast Network, or Pulse Multimedia. Enjoy the show.
This is Steve Stillwell with the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. I'm your host.
Today, what are we going to be talking about, Steve?
Let's talk about the Ukraine and survival.
Oh, really? What's going on in the Ukraine, Steve, for those living under a rock right now?
As you can tell, that was a canned question. He very well knows because we've been talking. And I'll say, here's the whole reason for this war. Our corruption is threatening their corruption. Oof. And here's one thing, too, Putin is invading. He has the capability to level that country, but they're very surgical, very strategical at what they're hitting. And I think what he's opting for is for these people to just surrender, but they're not. He's kind of bit off a little more than he can chew. And, of course, the propaganda machines are rolling to demonize the Russians. Oh, yeah, yeah. But our corruption was threatening their corruption. There's a lot of resources in the Ukraine that people don't realize. Oil, gas, I was reading something about uranium, wheat. It's a very fertile country. Mm. And I'll tell you what, the Russians want it. It's their back door. It's right there next to them. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they're just trying to swallow up everything, or do you think that there was a more specific reason why they wanted the Ukraine? Because if they were just trying to swallow up more territories, they could have very easily taken something like Alaska.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they wouldn't, because that would spark a very, very...
Oh, yeah. Well, they sold Alaska to us years ago.
They didn't want it.
Yeah, they don't want it back. That was a big mistake. But anyway, the answer to your question, a little bit of yes to all the above. Like I said, Ukraine is right in their back door, and they want that country, and apparently we want it too.
Hmm.
So I'd like to find out what's going on over there. There's a lot more to this story, to this scenario, than meets the eye.
I can tell. You know, I don't think that Russia would just go out of their way to just attack the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think that there was some sort of political issues in the Ukraine at the time that maybe Russia was trying to stop, something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're leaning toward the West. Mm. And here's one thing, too, that a lot of people don't know. Their president is Jewish. Mm. And Israel has, and this could be very interesting, Israel's thrown their support behind the West and behind Ukraine. So this whole thing is a can of worms. And then you have Russia. They have more or less emboldened Syria, which is right above Israel, north of Israel. And they reinforced one of their air units there. And let's see, it was a day or two ago, there was an Israeli gentleman I listened to. He has a news program. He was talking about all the Russian ships that are in the Mediterranean, not the Black Sea, which is up there by Crimea, but they're in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Of course, Crimea, the Russians took that over here some years back. And anyways... this is going to be interesting.
Geopolitics. So what we're going to be talking about today is in the scenario that this could happen to, you know, one of us, a listener.
What would we do? Yeah, absolutely. What would we do if we found ourselves in a similar situation or circumstances?
So obviously the three key points in survival is food, water, shelter. Mm-hmm. And then there's the add-on of defense, especially in this scenario. So in an urban survival wartime situation, how would you go about getting food?
Well, and let me say this, one of the most important aspects of all the above is wisdom and knowledge and staying informed. Because if you're on top of things, guess what? Things like this will not catch you by surprise. And I guarantee you, over there in the Ukraine, there were some people caught by surprise. But anyways, what could a person do to procure food in a situation like that? I'll say this. You better have some reserves before it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've watched the news, they had a run on the grocery stores over there, on the gas stations. There were lines a mile long, people trying to get gas to evacuate and get out of there. But guess what? Those who had what they needed, they can fare much better. They can bypass those like the ATMs, mm-hmm. for instance. Oh, man, people trying to get their money out. a wise thing is, and this is as an American, have what you need. Guns, ammunition, plenty of ammunition, food, water, and a bug out bag in case you have to evacuate.
So in the event of somebody being unprepared, how could somebody go about getting food? I mean, it'd be a good idea to start researching, you know, wild edibles in your area.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You can learn wild edibles, and that's advantageous. But I'll tell you what, if you're not prepared, you're at the mercy of everybody around you. And that's actually how some governments and some leaders want to keep the people. They actually want them at your mercy because people who are at the mercy of those in control, they're easily controlled.
Weak people are easy to control?
Yeah, they're easily manipulated.
Okay, so we can move on to water. Now, obviously, you can take water and boil it. You know, do you want to run through water purification methods?
Purification methods. You can have the purification tablets. Mm-hmm. One thing you want to be careful of if in a war environment is any type of contamination, whether they use nuclear, chemical, or biological. Mm-hmm. So you want to try to get your water from a clean source. And here's one thing, too. If you come up to a water hole and you see a bunch of dead animals and birds around it, you better avoid that spot. Something's not right.
For a side note, if you're taking edibles, wild edibles from around contaminated water, like, you know, we talked about several episodes back, you know, I'm obsessed with cattails, but I mean,
you don't want to harvest them in Chernobyl.
Exactly. Or from ditches and stuff like that. Yeah. You don't want to pull any kind of, even if it's just like wild greens, like wild onions or something like that. You don't want to pull it from any kind of bad water, any ditches or anything like that.
But water is very important. You can go about 30 days without food, but three days without water. And I'll tell you what, in hot environments, I'll tell you what, water, it's our lifeline. It's it's very essential. So you need something to purify it and the knowledge thereof. And, you know, just a rolling boil, maybe 5 minutes. I would say in your bug out bag, definitely have a metal canteen or like a small coffee pot, something where you can boil that water, purify it, and another container to put it in to let it cool.
Now, there are situations where you won't necessarily need to purify the water, and that's in the case of finding a spring.
Sure.
You can drink rainwater, right?
Yeah. You sure can.
I've never tried this, but I love the idea of a solar still, which is essentially where you take you take like leaves and stuff like that, and you dig a hole and you put these leaves in this hole, and then you can take like Saran wrap or something clear.
Yeah.
And then you put it over this hole in the sun, in direct sunlight. It's very important. And, as the sun pulls the water out of all these leaves, or even just
the ground. Yeah. You want it at least about 3 feet deep and 3 feet in diameter.
As this water evaporates, it catches on the top of that, you know, on the Saran wrap, and you can just, you know,
yeah, condensation.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly what it does.
Like I said, I've never tried that. I think I'm going to this summer because it's a really, really cool method, and it's clean, easy water. The problem with it is, however, that it doesn't produce a whole lot of water.
Thing is, you'd have to run several of those at the same time, and if you have a lot of people in your group or even a small family,
But it is a good way for passive, you know, just to have it set up. Okay, so for shelter, you know, I know that a lot of places in the Ukraine right now, they have shelter-in-place orders. Some of them are telling them to leave to the outer edges of the Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, there's several hundred, a thousand people trying to evacuate into Poland and the surrounding countries.
So with somebody who's on the run, you know, maybe on foot, it's going to take more than one day, you know,
To
get to where they're trying to go because, you know, the trains are packed, you know, it's hard to get resources like gas right now for driving. So what would your, recommendation be for somebody, who is on foot traveling from one place to another for a temporary shelter?
This is what I would do. And it would be escape and evasion. Of course, it would be wise to travel at night. But if the enemy has night vision or thermal imaging, they can detect you. So what you're going to want to do is kind of just pick your way through certain areas very cautiously. And which I'm fortunate enough, I have night vision and I understand the deployment and the use thereof. You know, you have passive and active measures, which if someone's going active, in other words, they've engaged their infrared, you can see that. It'll look like a flashlight if you're looking passively. And you can tell that they're watching some of those fields with that, or the woods even. But what I would try to do is just escape and evade, take my time, pick and choose where I go. Here's something else to consider. If you're traveling with a family, you can only move as fast as the slowest member.
Mm.
If you have children, or you, if you have a wife, or here, this really complicates things.
That means sacrifice the children. No, I'm joking.
No, but on a serious note, if you're traveling with someone disabled too, you know, these things can hamper. But I'll say this. Take your time if you're in hostile territory like that.
Would you recommend that people travel in groups?
The more of you there are, the easier you are to find. I'll say that. But I haven't read too much. I did hear that they strafed, that the Russians strafed a convoy of people leaving. And I did see where a tank ran over a vehicle. It actually crossed the center,
went onto
the other side, and it ran over an elderly man, and thank God he survived.
Mm.
But that was just vicious.
It was very very hard to watch. I feel horrible for the people there who have to see this. I mean, it's...
But here's the old saying, Trey, all is fair in love and war.
Mm.
So here's the thing. If I was in that country, I certainly wouldn't trust the invading forces any further than what I could see them.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all.
But that would be my advice. Get the heck out of there.
So back to shelter. So you would recommend not setting up any kind of shelter and just traveling in a linear manner?
Well, something quick, because right now I saw a video over there. There were people actually making Molotov cocktails, and it was snowing when they were making these. So you're going to, you know, we're still in winter. There's inclement weather. If you got caught out, and let's say it rained, it warmed up just enough to rain, and then it freezes that night, you're going to die if you're exposed to the elements. So you would need a tarp.
Oh, definitely.
And you could set something like that up. In fact, in my bug out bag, I've got everything I need in there to survive. I keep a tarp in there with some guy lines. I can throw up a lean-to, I mean, fast, in just a matter of minutes.
If you have to sleep out in the open on the ground... huge recommendation, get yourself off the ground. The ground is going to
pull
all of the heat you have in your body out of you. Mm-hmm. And whenever your core temperature drops below, what is it?
Is it 90? Let's see. The average temperature is 98.6. If you drop just a couple of degrees, you're going to start freezing. And the first sign of hypothermia is shivering.
Mm-hmm.
And what the body's doing when you shiver, it's actually an attempt to generate heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's why your hands and your feet, your toes, they get cold first.
Because it's all trying to warm your...
blood is going to the vital organs, your heart, your lungs.
So, get yourself off the ground. If you have to sleep on the ground, get off of the ground.
And here's one thing, too. You can actually sleep sitting up.
That's true.
You might not be comfortable, but here's the thing. In a stressful situation, and we've all been in them, I have, sometimes just a power nap, a few hours sleep, and then you're back up and on the move again. So that would be a recommendation. And here's something I read. We were discussing this before the show. Ragnar Benson, this guy was a survivalist and a writer, had some really cool books. And he said the last thing you want to find yourself is a refugee. You know, so we survive with our wits. And this guy, he's been to some other countries. I have too. But the more you know, the further you can go.
There's the catchphrase.
Yep.
I was wondering when we hear it.
Oh, yeah. And that's vital. And sometimes the more you know, the less you have to carry. So you could carry just the essentials if you're trying to diddy bop and get out of there fast. Just something to purify water, something to keep yourself warm, something to make a fire. And I would certainly recommend having a weapon.
Okay. So moving away from that and closer to ready preparedness, what can we do now to prepare in the event of something like this happen? Urban warfare.
Okay. First thing, exercise your Second Amendment right.
Okay.
And I'll say any politician that's against that, I question their motives. Who are you working for? Seriously, because it's the right of the people to keep and bear arms. It's for self-preservation. And for our dignity and for our self-defense. So first thing, firearms, plenty of ammunition.
If somebody doesn't have access to a firearm, what are some weapons that they could improvise?
Here's one thing, and I brought this topic up the other day. A skilled survivalist will be versed in multiple weapon systems, from primitive to advanced and modern. There again, the more you know, the further you can go. And I can pick up a bow, I can shoot it, I can use a crossbow, I know how to use an atlatl, a slingshot, a blowgun. All kinds of things that are at our disposal. And I'll tell you what, even a sharp stick beats nothing.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I was reading something a while back where you see, like, in movies and stuff like that, they'll take a baseball bat and they'll put nails at the end of it. Don't do that. Because the nails will catch on whoever your target is. And if there's more than one person, I mean, you're stuck there. You know, baseball bat is a lot better without the nails in it.
You could do like The Walking Dead and wrap it with barbed wire like Negan did. But anyways, you know, be practical. Use common sense, because I'll tell you what, if you can avoid a fight, especially in a situation like that, it's a lose-lose situation what's going on in Ukraine right now. And my heart breaks for these people.
I mean, $10 to $20 will buy you a good can of jail pepper spray. You know,
it might be good for a couple of people. But the thing is, you want to try to avoid the confrontations, because he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. That's an old saying.
Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival will be right back after this message from our sponsors.
At Mena Ford, their mission statement is to be the home of drivers in the Mena, Arkansas area. The Efords are locally owned and operated. You'll discover a selection of new and used vehicles, exceptional car care, and customer service with a smile. When it comes to financing, let Anthony Eford step in. He's there to help you by going over every option carefully and will work hard to find the right plan for you, whether adding accessories, protection packages, or figuring out the final details of your loan package. Anthony at Mena Ford will guide you along the way. If you need a rental, Mena Ford has you covered. You won't find a reason to visit any other dealership. Mena Ford is by your side whenever you need any car care service and repair work done. The auto parts team will be happy to get you whatever you need to keep your Ford vehicle on the road for many miles to come. Mena Ford is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Check out the Ford truck lineup. They are built Ford tough. You'll need a tough and dependable truck while enjoying your next bushcrafting and survival adventure. Stop by Mena Ford, 1103 Highway 71 North, or give them a call at 479-394-2214.
And now back to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show.
But the next thing on your list, you're going to want some food. You're going to want some non-perishables.
Be some examples of some non-perishables?
Oh, Mountain House is the best. It's expensive, but those will keep
I've tried their,
25
they're like,
years.
They're like freeze-dried ice cream.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, well, that's the ice cream, but you can try their beef stroganoff,
I did have their
lasagna. The other food's pretty good.
I had their chicken and rice soup, and it was good. I mean, it's something I'd eat for dinner. Yeah. Personally, I keep the...
And there's Four Patriot Supply, there's Wise, there's several really good companies
I keep the,
that are out there.
The little like vacuum-sealed... like emergency food rations.
Good.
I keep those, and they're like $5 for six. Yeah. And I think each one is enough calories for a day.
Good.
So, I mean, if you plan on being on the road for, you know, a week, that'll get you through the week at least.
Yeah.
You know. So other than that, is it like, you know, just canned food, maybe ramen noodles
Yeah, ramen noodles are great. And here's some ways that you can stretch those ramen noodles. You can make a pot. Let's say you're trying to feed a family.
Mm-hmm.
You can add a can of mixed vegetables to those.
Mm.
You could add some corn, some green beans, different things. One thing I did one time, and this was out in the bush when I was camped out with old Morris, I did a thing of ramen noodles. Didn't add the seasoning packet, but I made a thing of chili.
Oh.
And I mixed both of them together.
I'm going to try that at lunch.
Yeah, it was good, and it was filling. But there's a lot of things that you can do, and like hobo stew. You can get a can of Dinty Moore stew, and there again, you can add another can of mixed vegetables to it. You could even mix some rice in, make another packet of rice. These are ways to stretch your resources on a dime. And I've done that many times. When I was down on my luck in my 20s, I'll tell you what, you learn how to eat bologna and how to survive on nothing or next to nothing.
All right. So what would your advice be to somebody who is afraid of this and wanting to start preparing.
Okay. One thing about fear can be crippling, and you can't allow that. If you're afraid, you're defeated right out of the gate.
Wasn't it Cody Lundeen who said survival is psychological first?
Sure it is. Absolutely. And that's the thing, to overcome those mental obstacles. And I found that the best way to do it is wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Mm. So what you want to do, you know, if you're an aspiring survivalist, read, listen, and watch as many videos, books, different things as you can. Talk to others, find people of like mind, share ideas.
Because and where could you find these people who are like-minded?
Same way you and I found one another.
The Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Facebook group
Full
of several world-class survivalists and like-minded folk
some of the
who
best.
Are happy as all get out to answer any questions that you could ask.
Yeah, and I would consider many on this page, on our page, they're top-notch people. Some of them have been on television. They have they're showcasing their own skills on YouTube. They've got their own video channels. Mm-hmm. Some are writers. Others are writers like myself. And that's what we do, just networking. And we're never too old to learn or to experiment. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying new ideas.
All right, Steve. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to mention before we close the show?
Just stay informed and be prepared. That's all we can do, because if you bury your head in the sand, it'll never happen here. I'll tell you what, when it does, you'll be the first one to perish, and you don't want that to happen. That's the whole purpose of this show.
So, alrighty, Steve, you want to sign us off?
Yeah, this is Steve Stillwell with the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Stillwell's The Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. Catch Steve on the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Facebook page and on the Ouachita Podcast website every other Thursday. That's www.theouachitapodcast.com, plural. And remember, as Steve always says, the more you know, the further you can go.